welcome back to Transform, a podcast highlighting the people and ideas shaping the future of senior living. I'm Austin Montgomery for Senior Housing News. On today's episode, I spoke with Volante Senior Living CEO Jeff Fisher. The Southlake, Texas-based senior living provider operates 24 communities across 10 states. Since joining Volante in July of 2024, CEO Jeff Fisher and his leadership team have worked to improve staff retention, reduce turnover, and improve workplace culture in an effort to solidify operations in a preamble to future growth. While the company focuses on operations internally to improve staffing, along with its sales and marketing practices, Volante is also expanding with two new developments underway in Oregon.
The biggest focus, again, is just day-to-day at our communities and our regions, just to solidify the workforce that we have.
Now, here's my interview with Volante CEO Jeff Fisher. Jeff, thanks so much for joining us here on Transform. We're glad to have you.
It's my pleasure to be here. Thank you.
And for those who might not be familiar with Volante, would you be able to just describe the portfolio and tell us a little bit about the organization?
Absolutely. My pleasure. So our parent company is Inspired Healthcare, based out of Scottsdale, Arizona. And then Volante Senior Living is their operations arm, if you will. And we currently have 24 communities spread across the country from Oregon to Florida.
Awesome. Thank you. And we know you recently just joined the organization. And so I'd love to get your opinion on this. And I've asked some of our other podcast guests who have been new leaders in new positions, but have brought many roles with them. So from your past experience with MBK to now Volante, I'd love to know how your past leadership really informs your thinking with Volante. I know when we spoke last summer, you really had, there was a lot of excitement around what Volante has to offer as a young platform. So just from your role with your past experience, how do you think it kind of informs your role with Volante and what you've been up to the last 6 to 7 months?
Absolutely. So it's been a great transition over the past 7 months or so. And certainly my experience at Sunrise and MBK and prior companies has positioned me well for my role here as CEO at Volante. Learned a lot in my 28 plus years in this industry. And so as I take over oversight of this portfolio and trying to drive more consistent operations as well as growth, again, positioned well, gives me the opportunity to look at all sides of our business, from how do we stabilize our current operations, how do we build out a team, working on solidifying a very solid culture and making sure our team members feel respected and a part of something bigger. And then looking again the growth side of the business as well.
And for you personally, I would love to know what some of the priorities you have in mind for 2025 in Volante. What benchmarks are you looking to improve upon? This could be from operations to care delivery or even sales and marketing and beyond. I know when we had spoken last summer, you really had mentioned that there was a lot of opportunities ahead for Volante, and you really were excited about building a leadership team and also kind of priming the organization for growth. So when you think about the 2025 effort and what's ahead for the rest of this year, what do you have in mind? Where are your priorities at?
Yeah, 2025 is going to be a big year for us. I mean, our company is, our portfolio is about 2 years old at this point. And so it's grown relatively quickly over the last couple of years. And it's an opportunity throughout this year for us to kind of solidify what we're doing, to kind of take a step back, really try to hone our current operations, improve overall performance. As you had mentioned in the question, you know, stabilizing our team, improving some of the talent as we go forward with any openings that we have, which I think we've done that in the time that I've been here already. And then you know, go through this year stabilizing so that we can position ourselves for growth. Doesn't mean we're not looking to grow this year as it is. We'll do that opportunistically, but really honing our skills this year and then position for future growth as well.
That's great to hear. And I know we'll talk about a little bit later on. We'll talk about some of those challenges and especially those things around staffing. And I want to touch on something you had just mentioned. When you had talked to us previously, you talked about there's a lot of excitement around taking a younger senior living platform with a new team to be able to grow and stabilize operations. So now we're 7 months in. Any updates you can share with us? What have you been up to? Would love to know just some of those things, maybe on the back end that people might not see. What have been some of the building blocks that have been put in place? What have you been working on?
Well, again, I think working on just coming in and assessing the talent that we have and looking at any positions that were open, getting those filled, turnover along the way, some planned, some unplanned, but with each turn, just trying to kind of ramp up the level of talent that we have, really solidify the experience within our team. We've been able to really bring on some high caliber talent, if you will, with years of experience within the senior living platform. So it really helps position us well as we go forward. And throughout my tenure, my short tenure here, our turnover has continued to ramp down little by little. So it's getting better day by day. We had our first annual leadership conference earlier this year, which was a great opportunity for us to have everybody in front of us, some of our key leaders, and really talk about the future of this company, where we are and where we hope to be over the next 5-10 years. And just that excitement building the culture and building a platform that everybody that's involved right now can really put their DNA on and build something special that we're excited about.
Great to hear. And I know we'll be watching along as that happens for Volante. Now I want to shift and talk about some of the biggest priorities as it relates to operations for Volante in 2025. Where do you see those biggest priorities being? Would love to know, because I think we've seen a pretty interesting journey over the last 12 months for senior living operators. Just anecdotally, we've heard there's been a lot of improvement on things like occupancy and starting to be some things around margin improvement, which is wonderful to hear. But just generally, when you're thinking about from an operations perspective, where are those biggest priorities for the organization in 2025?
Well, I mean, I think the industry has done a really nice job over the past, two, three, 4 years of, again, kind of steadily increasing occupancy, more stabilization within the workforce. Growth within the industry has still been a little bit challenged as the economy has not been as cooperative. So margins have continued to lag a little bit. But that's, all of those aspects are what we're focused on, continuing to solidify our team, drive turnover down. Look at expenses. I mean, thankfully, we don't have any agency labor across our portfolio. Had some when I first started. We've been able to get that out for the most part at this point. But now just continuing to try to, stabilize our labor force, get turnover down and overtime down, and then just really hone our, our expenses along the way and then drive occupancy. So transparently, our occupancy lags a little bit behind the industry average, but we are focused, laser focused on trying to get that where it needs to be so that we can, solidify our performance.
And I think you brought up a good point on occupancy, and we've heard kind of a mixed bag there from operators that are doing well in certain markets and some that are still kind of figuring out ways that they can pull the levers on making any sort of occupancy improvement. When you're thinking about that improvement in occupancy, where have you been spending most of your time? Where have you been putting some of your resources as it relates to operations and how it can positively impact occupancy? If there's anything you can share, just as a follow-up, would love to know more what that looks like, because I think that's a critical journey for a lot of operators.
Well, I think it comes as no surprise. I mean, more often than not, it comes down to people and having the right people doing the right things on a day-to-day basis. Taking the sales trainings that they've been equipped with and utilizing those skills to go out and make an impact. We're putting a greater emphasis on relationship building within our markets, with our sales directors and our operations team, building those relationships with key referral sources, figuring out how do we better position ourselves from a marketing standpoint, utilizing, obviously automated marketing as well as digital ad placement, and just trying to make sure that we are positioned right from those aspects. And we hired on a brand new VP of marketing a couple of months ago. And so she's with us now and has a lot of experience in the space. which again will help us hone our skills and hone where we are positioned and how to better position ourselves as we go forward.
Awesome. Thanks for some detail there. And I know we'll get to staffing here a little bit later on. So I think that's a critical part that operators are really looking at in being able to solidify operations and make sure that they're in a good position to be able to keep that continuity of care together, to be able to make residents happy, but also be able to demonstrate how they can be attractive for prospects that are coming in. So I think it's a journey that's well worth watching. When you're thinking about some of the biggest challenges for operations this year, is it still on the staffing side? It sounds like you've put a big focus there, but I'll leave this up to you. Where do you see the biggest challenges when it comes to operations this year?
Yeah, I mean, I think staffing still drives or leads the way for us, trying to drive turnover down, as I've mentioned. I think for the most part, wages have kind of stabilized. I mean, that was a big factor over the last couple of years or so, and we're still facing challenges there. But I think we know where those are now. We're just trying to keep up with that aspect and continue to ramp up our overall employee bases, if you will, at each location. Some markets are doing great. Some are a little bit more challenged, just depending. But we're getting better day by day with getting fully staffed, and we'll see some improvements there. And then again, the other big challenges are just continuing to look at our margins. How do we? There's still a lot of supply costs that are high, and so especially in the dining world, so food costs are on the rise, and supply costs are still high for many different products that we utilize on a day to day basis. Access to capital and making sure we have capital improvements where needed. So, all the normal things that we face as an industry, they're still existent in our way right now, but we're working to just do our best with those and continue to hone those margins as we go through the year.
And just on the flip side of the coin, when you're thinking about opportunities as it relates to operations, would love to know where you think there might be the biggest room for improvement and the most opportunity ahead when it comes to operations. I know you had mentioned on reducing turnover and improving retention. Is that where you see the biggest opportunity in operations, or is that maybe some other aspects of operations that you see as one of the biggest opportunities for improvement in 2025?
For us, especially being a young company, I think that's where our biggest opportunity lies. It's just making sure we've got the appropriate systems in place, making sure our teams are well trained, and just kind of, going through those growing pains that a young company faces, trying to kind of smooth those ruffles out, if you will, and just make sure our staff is consistent in their delivery on a day-to-day basis. So, yeah, I would say for us that being a young company is the biggest challenge for us right now.
And along the way, I'm assuming being in kind of that fledgling stage still, you really have to make sure your operations are as solid as they can be. And it sounds like you're really putting a lot of emphasis behind the teams and behind the leaders that you have in place. That seems only natural, right? But I'd love to unpack your thoughts there just on why it's been important to kind of build that core strength. I know we'll get to staffing here later on, but just from your perspective of building that team, and it sounds like you're really protecting the nucleus of what Volante is by having these strong leaders in place. What's that been like? It almost seems like moving pieces around on the chessboard to where people fit the best, but how do you think about it? And from your perspective, why is that something that's so important, especially now as a younger organization?
Yeah, absolutely. So for us, again, being a younger company, it's getting the right talent hired. And, we're thankful to have a very supportive parent company that's provided us a lot of resources. And from that perspective, I tell our teams all the time that we are very well resourced. We have some positions that many other companies do not have, even larger companies I've been with in the past. And so we need to take advantage of making sure that, again, our systems are solid, we have good practices in place, and that we take advantage of the resources that we have at our bequest to go out and make an impact. And so right now we're focused with our regional or national teams on kind of a high touch perspective, really being in and out of our communities on a very frequent basis, really looking at the systems we have employed and making sure that they're tweaking where we need to, but just making sure that we're analyzing our business, kind of dissecting every individual market, every individual community, what barriers are at each location, and what do we need to do to drive performance, whether it's a labor perspective, whether it's an occupancy issue, whatever it is at each location, it's a little bit different. So taking each individual community just as that, as an individual, and really customizing our approach to make the impact at each location.
And I want to ask you a follow-up off of that. You mentioned that, and you're totally right. You've seen a lot in the senior living industry coming from Sunrise and ISL and MBK. You've really built up a wealth of experience. And you mentioned that there were some positions that at your disposal now with Volante that you'd hadn't seen before. Would love to know if you can name any of those positions off the top of your head and how those have been beneficial. Would love to really understand that and unpack what that looks like, because I think that's a really interesting point that you make, just being able to have the resources from a parent company who's involved and wants to help Volante continue to improve. What's your perspective there? It seems like you get a fresh new take on being able to have new resources at your disposal that a veteran like yourself in the space, you haven't seen before.
Yeah, well, and I wouldn't say they're unicorn positions, but for smaller companies, sometimes it's hard to invest dollars in extra positions. But here we have we put an emphasis on kind of separating out sales and marketing. Not that there's not crossover, there is on an everyday basis, but making sure we have a well established sales team as well as a well established marketing team, and focusing on those different aspects of the business and how to drive results from each. We've added a pricing position so that we have somebody that's out there constantly looking at pricing. And how do we, so it's not kind of like set your rates one and done for the year, but be more fluid with rates as we go so that we can try to keep up with things going on in the individual markets and what have you. We've invested heavily for, again, especially a company this size, we've invested heavily in learning and development to bring on some talent within that area of our HR team so that we can focus on building out internal programs, building out training programs and leadership programs so that we can build up our own bench strength. Again, it's tough when you're in a small company and you're competing against the big players out there in the industry. And so we want to be able to keep up with that by, again, have building up that bench strength and building up our own talent so that when we have an opening somewhere, we can, you know, almost plug and play much more quickly versus, you know, having to post a position and then wait sometimes months to find the right person. So we're not there yet, but we are investing in it up front so that we can get ahead of that as we go.
Right. I think that'll only pay dividends in the long run. So that'll be something we'll be definitely interested in to see how that plays out. And now I want to shift gears a little bit and talk about how you view future growth, especially as a young organization. And I'd love to understand your perspective on new growth for Volante. And I know you mentioned that you really want to take a methodical approach to growth with an emphasis on strengthening staffing before you consider scaling at all. I think that's a really measured and a responsible way to think about growth. But I'd love to know just how you view any potential opportunities that are out there and maybe your philosophy behind what growth could look like for Volante in the future once you've got the nucleus of that core staff and the strength and bench strength that you want to have. What does growth look like? What could that look like for Volante maybe 2 years down the road?
Sure. Well, again, I think a lot of times growth is a little bit opportunistic, so you got to kind of take it as it comes. And if there's opportunities that come across your desk, so to speak, that the numbers pan out, then you sometimes you pursue those even if you're not maybe quite ready. But our approach is looking at acquisitions and also looking at our parent companies just recently reinvested in kind of building out our development team. So we're looking at both aspects from that perspective. You know, how do we solidify an acquisition process so that when an opportunity is presented, we can, you know, pursue that. And then ultimately, if we're selected and we, you know, win the bid, so to speak, on that acquisition, then we can integrate that community or communities in smoothly. And then similarly, from a development process, in that, you know, it takes a little bit longer to kind of get that team built up and go out and start finding land sites, get them entitled. So it's a much lengthier process, but we are focused there as well, looking at new development so that we can not only take on opportunistic acquisitions, but bring on some new builds as well as time permits and as, you know, the economy permits.
And I know when we had last spoken, just on this development point, I'd love to get an update on the two communities under development in Oregon for Volante, and then touch on your overall development outlook in 2025. I think it's interesting that you're looking to build out that development team. Sounds like you really want to maybe stomach some short-term risk to be one of the first ones out of the gate with some new projects out of the ground, if you will, for when some of this demographic-driven demand starts to really hit the marketplace. And I think we're already starting to see that in communities as we hear that the baby boomer residents are starting to really consider senior living options, and that demographic demand will only continue. But just would love to get an update on what's underway in Oregon, and then just more generally discuss your development outlook for 2025, because we're hearing it's pretty tough out there to make projects pencil out.
Yeah, it is. Well, the two projects we have going on in Oregon were legacy projects. They were well underway before I got started. They're both tracking well. So we're slated to open hopefully both of those in mid Q2. And so they're both a little bit smaller communities in small markets within Oregon, but we're excited about how they'll be positioned. Again, brand new product to the space, and excited about what they'll bring to those local markets. So we have the early beginnings of those teams. We're building them out in those two locations. We've already brought on some good talent in both sites, and we're excited for what they'll do for us in the future. And then again, more globally, we just kind of re-engaged our development team, and our leader of that division is working on building his team and working on going out and identifying sites. So we have a couple things that are already in the works that we're looking at, early stages, just trying to figure, again, will the numbers pencil? What type of project do we want to put on those sites? But excited for what that brings. And hopefully as that kind of solidifies over the next couple of years, we'll get into a rhythm where we can, bring on a couple sites per year once you really hone that process a little bit.
Yeah, and I think too, not even from an in-office perspective, but also just from a macro perspective, once hopefully rates can come down and maybe we'll see some more improvements on the cost of debt financing and construction financing. So we know it's definitely not an easy landscape to be seeking new projects in. So it only makes sense that those projects in Oregon were kind of legacy projects, as you mentioned. Any color you can provide on those just off the top, maybe total unit count, what those look like? If not, totally understand, but just as a follow-up, anything you can share on what those two communities look like?
They're identical buildings, and they're both 48 unit, 24 AL, 24 memory care at each location. So again, a little bit smaller projects, but again, excited that they're brand new and will be bringing a need to those markets that they'll be serving. But it's a lot of outside influences that are impacting the ability to develop. Obviously, with the growing seniors population, it's something that's going to be needed. I guess you look at the silver lining of, the after effects of COVID, and it's slowed development way down, obviously. And it was needed to catch up with some of that development that was out there prior, because it was gangbusters a few years ago. But now, obviously, absorption has caught up. And there's a need for new product, and it's, there's got to be a balance, right, of that need plus the economic factors to allow that growth. And then when it happens, it will happen. But when it happens, of course, that then cyclical. Right now, we got pressures on occupancy again and pressures on rate again. So it's ongoing, but it's a good the outlooks are great because, again, the seniors population is continues to increase every year for many years to come as projected. And so that means a huge need in our industry and a huge need for quality providers. And that's why I think timing wise, Volante is positioned well, because we're working and honing our skills to become a best in class operator. And hopefully we'll be right there alongside the growth that's to come.
Yeah. And I mean, anytime you can bring new projects out of the ground, we know that there's some information out there about the aging legacy stock that's of existing buildings being like, I think it's like 44% of senior living stock is currently 20 years or older. I think that's what the most recent NIC data had told us. So anytime you can bring something new to a market, regardless of where you are and regardless of the size, we think anytime you can have that new project, you're going to be able to have a leg up. And it'll be interesting to see kind of, as you had said, over what the next 2 years look like. Now I want to touch on something you had also talked about when we had spoken last summer. And you had mentioned just some updates and some renovations that were ongoing to existing communities. How's that worked out? And what's been some of the resident feedback you've been hearing regarding those updated amenities? Because I think we've also, not only from a pivot away from development, I think operators are really looking inwardly and maybe taking more bite-sized approaches to growth and thinking about ways they can improve their existing communities and revitalize them in a more manageable way that still has that same impact that improves resident satisfaction and also is a new marketing tool to be able to bring prospects in and show them kind of all the updates and to show how involved an operator has been, especially just on the CapEx side. So what have been some of the progress there? Is there anything you can share? I would love to know what residents are saying and what some of those renovations have been.
Yeah, transparently, it's been a slow process, you know, trying to solidify, you know, kind of our CapEx approach. You know, like you said, there is a need to look at existing product with that percentage of the communities that are out there that are 20 plus years old. You have to continue to invest in your existing assets to keep up with time and especially keep up with new product as it does start being delivered to the space. So we want to keep up along the way. We want to invest our existing products. And again, it's not easy. There's always a wish list at every community of everything they'd like to have. And sometimes it's a lot harder to retrofit amenities when people are looking for new stuff, whether it's, you know, a bigger fitness space or indoor outdoor yoga studio or those types of things that are becoming more and more common desires for the population we're going to be serving. It's harder to retrofit those things, but, you know, trying to do what we can, where we can with opportunities like that. And then more importantly, just keeping up and refurbing and putting new, you know, paint and carpet and FF&E in the assets that we have. So again, we kind of keep up with the times. So not an easy process. We got to figure out where our priorities, where are the biggest needs. And that's where we are kind of right now at Volante, is kind of building out our plan for the next kind of 1-5 years. And then prioritizing those needs to where do we need to put the dollars in to make the most impact, and you know, how do we position ourselves well in each market.
And now I want to shift gears again and go back to some of your thoughts on staffing. I know we've touched on it already a few times. I'm just making sure that you've got the right leaders in place to really build the base to support the young organization and its growth ahead. I would love to know just what you're thinking about when you had mentioned to us you're looking to build a cohesive unit, as you called it, before you're taking on new growth. I think that's something that is really interesting. And just in regard to that leadership, whether it's on the development side or bringing in, like you had mentioned, you just recently brought in a new marketing leader. Are there any other leadership positions that you're really looking to fill or maybe to move around? I know a lot of it is about making sure you have the right teams in the right buildings and to really make sure that you can have a culture of staffing that really can support one another. But just in terms of staffing and what you see ahead for 2025, what are going to be some of the priorities on staffing this year? And it seems like you're already starting to make some progress.
Yeah. I mean, for my leadership team, we're pretty well established at this point in time. So no major changes there that I am anticipating. The biggest focus again is just day to day at our communities and our regions, just to solidify the workforce that we have. I was just at a location last week, actually, and it's a building that has had some high overtime and things like that because of open positions. And basically they had just filled their last, I mean, you're always recruiting, but they had just filled their last four or five open positions. Those folks are in training and what have you now. So it should position us to cut overtime way down in that particular location. And that's our focus across our portfolio, really just try to get fully staffed, if you will, try to build up, you know, a pool of part-time and maybe even a little bit of PRN staff so that we have some people to turn to when you do have some turnover to be able to keep your costs in line. And then just really that day-to-day focus of good, consistent labor management, expense control across the board, and which will help. That's the biggest expense we have, obviously, that impacts our margins. So just really trying to be stable.
Yeah, I think, and we know too that just having continuity of staff at the community level can make a big difference in improving resident retention and making sure that residents have that resident satisfaction because they just recognize everyone. They know their leaders. They know the caregivers that help that take care of them and the frontline staff that serve them in the dining room. So we know that even that continuity around frontline leadership is vitally important as well. Now I want to shift gears twice more, and we'll get your thoughts on how Volante evaluated its care levels and cost structure. Would love to unpack some of the things you've learned, and then Jeff, we'll get you out of here by just talking about your outlook for the industry in 2025. But just from a care level perspective and what you learned from making those adjustments, have you been able to capture more care revenue? We think this has been a way that operators, especially in the last 2 years, have really started to look at how they're capturing care revenue. What are some of the things that you've learned with Volante, and has there been any positive improvement there on the care side?
Yeah, absolutely. And some of that already started before I even got here myself. That, you know, the team had been working on adjusting care levels and maybe unpacking some of, you know, markets where we were maybe all inclusive and put some care levels in place to try to make it a little bit more palatable for residents and families when they're moving from, you know, when their care needs increase. And at the same time, trying to make sure that we're keeping up with those rising labor costs. So it's been important that we try to position. And it's an ongoing process, to be very honest about it. We just this morning we had a call about our care levels and talking about how do we position that well, not only globally with the number of levels we have, but then per market to make sure that the, you know, per market dollars or per level dollars, I should say, are appropriate for each market. So it's an ongoing process our team is very deep into right now to make sure we're positioned well. I know we're in the early stages of 2025, but, you know, budget season will be upon us again before we know it, unfortunately, and we want to make sure we're keeping ahead of those schedules, so to speak, so that we can make sure our labor and our care fees are aligned appropriately. And along the way, too, we're looking at our technology. So we are looking at updating some of our technology from a care platform standpoint to make sure we have the right systems in place to be able to capture the care that's needed and help us better deliver on that care globally from a system standpoint. But more importantly, how do we make life easiest for our frontline caregivers so that they can spend the time actually delivering that care?
Right. And Jeff, we'll get you out of here with this last question. What's your outlook for 2025? What do you see ahead? I think there's a lot of opportunity building, maybe not so much on the ground up development side of things, but it seems like there's a lot of opportunity out there, not only to improve operations, but also potential acquisition opportunities that are out there. Would love to know, what's your outlook for the year ahead? Seems like we're headed in the right direction, but would love to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, similar to things I've said, and it's just, you know, we are really focused on high touch, honing our skills of what we're doing right now, really improving our existing results, and then looking at things as they come across us, you know, opportunistically, because, you know, we may find some growth opportunities yet this year, you know, even if we're not necessarily that's our huge focus. So really just trying to position ourselves well throughout this year so that next year really becomes a higher growth focus for us as well.
Well, Jeff, thanks so much for joining us here on Transform.
My pleasure. Thanks for asking me to present today.
That does it for this episode of Transform. I'm Austin Montgomery with Senior Housing News. Thanks for listening.